Good morning and welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms tuning in today.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. If you're heading out for brunch or spending time outside, you might want to grab a jacket, at least for the morning. We are starting off unseasonably cool.
That's right. Currently, it's sitting at just 36 degrees here in Grand Rapids. With some patchy frost being reported in the northern areas, it's a chilly start. But the good news is we have plenty of sunshine on the way.
Exactly. The skies will stay mostly clear throughout the day. By noon, we should be creeping up toward 40 degrees, and we'll hit our high of about 62 degrees right around 9 p.m. tonight.
It's definitely a reminder of how erratic our spring has been. We saw that extreme winter cold wipe out the cherry blossoms at Frederick Meyer Gardens earlier this year, and now we're still dodging frost warnings in mid-May.
It really is a wild weather pattern. For the next 30 hours, expect those clear skies to continue. We'll dip back down into the upper 30s overnight into Monday morning before climbing back to the upper 40s by Monday afternoon.
So bundle up the moms this morning, but enjoy that afternoon sun. We've got a busy show today, touching on some heavy local news, as well as a warning for anyone looking to buy a house in the area.
It's a packed episode, so let's get right into it.
We start today with some solemn news out of the Walker community. This weekend, family, friends, and local officials gathered to mourn the sudden loss of Walker Fire Chief Russell "Rusty" Schultz. Chief Schultz passed away unexpectedly on May 1st following a medical emergency. He was only 52 years old. The funeral service took place on Saturday, May 9th, at Remembrance Church in Walker.
It's a profound loss for the department and the city. What really stands out when you look at Chief Schultz's career is the sheer breadth of his service. He spent over 30 years in public safety, but it wasn't just in the fire service.
Right. His resume is incredible. He worked interchangeably across fire protection, law enforcement, emergency medical services, and even public health nursing. He served communities across Mississippi, Louisiana, and here in Michigan.
That kind of cross-training is incredibly rare. To understand the challenges of a police officer, a paramedic, a nurse, and a firefighter because you've actually worn all those hats, it gives you a holistic view of emergency response that very few leaders possess.
And you can see that impact in how quickly he changed things in Walker. He was appointed as the Walker Fire Chief just last summer, around June or July of 2025. So he was at the helm for less than a year. 10 months. That's all the time he had. But if you listen to the way his colleagues talk about him, you'd think he'd been leading that department for a decade. He was widely praised for bringing a servant leadership approach to the role. Walker Mayor Gary Carey released a statement that really captured the sentiment. He said, "A leader, a colleague, a friend, someone who chose a life of service for over 3 decades and lived it fully."
When a leader comes in and rapidly transforms a department's culture, it usually means they are listening more than they are dictating. For a department to embrace a new chief that quickly, it speaks volumes about Schultz's character and his boots-on-the-ground experience.
Absolutely. The first responder community is a tight-knit brotherhood. Earning their respect, especially coming in from the outside with such a diverse background, is no small feat. It's a tragic reminder of the heavy toll these high-stress public safety roles can take.
And the mourning process isn't over. Following the service here in Walker, there will be an additional funeral mass held on May 19th at St. Thomas Catholic Church down in Long Beach, Mississippi, where he also had deep ties.
Our thoughts are certainly with his family and the entire Walker Fire Department as they navigate this sudden transition. Losing a chief is hard enough, but losing one who had just injected so much positive momentum into the force is a really tough blow.
It definitely is. We'll be keeping an eye on how the city of Walker proceeds with honoring his legacy and eventually searching for someone to fill those very large shoes.
Shifting gears to something that's generating a lot of buzz online. If you're trying to navigate the hyper-competitive Grand Rapids housing market right now, you really need to hear this cautionary tale that recently blew up on the local subreddit.
Yeah, this post was titled PSA for Prospective Homebuyers, and it is a textbook example of the lipstick-on-a-pig phenomenon in real estate. A local resident shared their nightmare experience after buying a newly flipped home about a year ago.
the buyer did what you're supposed to do. They hired an inspector, the same inspector they used for a previous home purchase. The inspection turned up some minor things, like rotting fascia boards and a few electrical oversights, but nothing that seemed like a deal breaker. Right, the property and location were ideal, so they moved forward. But fast forward to the last 2 months, and water started pouring through the soffit boards. The homeowner brought in 3 different roofing contractors to figure out what was going on. And all 3 roofers showed them photographic evidence of, quote, egregious negligence with the roof installation. Neighbors even mentioned that the roof was slapped on just days before the house hit the market.
It gets worse. The roof was not remotely up to code. It was apparently done by regular handymen, not licensed roofers, just to fool prospective buyers. And to save time and money, they actually cut the bathroom fan roof vent cap,
which is just an unbelievable corner to cut. Because of that, warm, moist air collected in the attic all winter long, causing massive damage. Now the homeowner is facing a complete teardown and needs an entirely new roof. Now, here is the real kicker of the story. The Reddit user pointed out that the person who flipped this house is associated with a podcast called Flipping Dreams. They basically warned the community not to buy homes flipped by this operation. And for context, Flipping Dreams is a podcast featuring a Michigan-based investor named Calvin Beakey, who frequently discusses flipping around 150 homes a year. When you're doing that kind of volume, the focus is often on rapid turnaround and cosmetic upgrades, paint, flooring, kitchens, to maximize profit. Exactly. Industry experts warn about this all the time. Quick flips often skip the deep structural work or bypass the necessary city permits because that eats into their margins. They make the house look incredibly appealing to a buyer walking through an open house, but the bones are rotting. The homeowner's ultimate advice in the thread was this: if you are looking to purchase a home, call a dedicated roofing company to inspect the roof. Typical home inspectors do a visual sweep. They don't pull up shingles or do the kind of invasive checks needed to spot a hastily slapped on roof. It's a tough situation because in this market, buyers feel pressured to waive inspections entirely just to get their offer accepted. But this story proves why you have to protect yourself. A visual inspection isn't going to catch unpermitted structural work.
And it really highlights a broader issue in local real estate. When investors are flipping 150 houses a year, you have to ask how much oversight and quality control is actually happening on each individual property.
It's definitely something to keep in mind if you're touring a beautifully staged home with brand new gray vinyl flooring and fresh paint. Make sure you look up at the roof and maybe bring a specialist with you.
All right, that's a lot to keep an eye on. Let's hit a few more local stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got some updates on the new amphitheater, a local prom milestone, and some classic Grand Rapids traffic complaints.
First up, the new Acrisure Amphitheater hosted a private contractor appreciation music festival this weekend. It was a chance for the families of the 50-plus contractors who built the venue to enjoy it before the public.
And it also served as a crucial test run. The $184 million, 12,000-seat venue opens officially on May 15th, so they used this event to stress test concessions, ticketing, and security.
Speaking of that test run, a Reddit user who attended posted their review. They noted that the food and beverage prices were shockingly affordable, likely because it was a soft opening.
But the big takeaway was the warning about infrastructure. The user confirmed what many locals have feared. The parking situation is going to be a major headache once 12,000 people start showing up for regular concerts.
In lighter community news, Forest Hills Central High School held its Under the Sea-themed prom this past Saturday, down at the DeVos Place Convention Center. It's always fun to see these milestones. The event featured elaborate decorations and a photo booth, highlighting just how massive and glitzy high school proms have become in recent years. And finally, a thread titled Facebook Traffic Safety Big Brains racked up hundreds of upvotes on the Grand Rapids subreddit as residents gathered to vent about local driving habits.
It's a classic example of hyper-local digital venting. Whether it's zipper merges or running red lights, it seems the quickest way to unite Grand Rapids online is complaining about everyone else's driving.
That's going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks, as always, for starting your morning with us. We hope all the moms out there have a wonderful and relaxing Mother's Day. Enjoy that afternoon sunshine, and we will catch you back here tomorrow.